Welcome back to Right Quick,
a bite-sized pop culture conversation with your favorite queer, unfriendly black hotties.
We're unfriendly today because they just don't make black cinema like they used to. I'm not okay.
I am Vance Go, and I'm really sad that we don't make black cinema like we used to.
There was definitely a golden age, and
it was, I think. I think it was because, like, the racism of the industry was so, like, open that, like, everything was, like, I mean, we're already jumping into the thing, but, like, Eddie Murphy, like, talk about, man. Like, the first time they had black people in, like, executive roles and everybody in the cast was black, and they used to have him on TV being like, why is everyone a nigga? He's like, why is everyone white in your movie? Like, what you talking about?
Right, exactly. Yeah,
why
so
I can't be a...
Listen, love so if interest. Y'all haven't caught it, today we are talking about black cinema, the greatest of all time. I mean, we were talking before we started recording, and I said it, this is the hardest decision I ever had to make in life. Like, number one, I've never...
For real?
I went to the chop shop, and this was hard.
Nandi, please.
I'm just saying.
We're less than 2 minutes in. That being said, no, it was very hard. So yeah, today we're doing another rating episode. We are rating our top five black movies. I'm not gonna hold you, 90. I didn't even do mine. Like, I mean, I did it, but like, mine is not numbered now.
No,
like,
I number mine because I need to be able to talk about it in order.
It will be numbered, but it's not at this very moment numbered. So I will say that. So, just to open up the conversation about black cinema. So did you grow up watching black movies?
So as many of y'all know, I grew up really conservative. I grew up deep in the church. Mm-hmm. I wasn't even allowed to listen to not gospel music I still wasn't allowed at this time, but I was like 12 or something when I started listening to like non-gospel music on my own. I could listen to like some R&B and like jazz, but no rap. So I started listening to rap like, you know, at the end of elementary school, basically when I had access to the internet for the first time.
Right, that's because
so obviously, understand. Yeah, we couldn't watch R-rated movies or movies right. with cussing or sex. But my daddy, this is the joy of divorced parenthood, he would take us to see all kind of shit.
Yeah.
So then on the weekends or whenever my daddy decided that he wanted to be a father to us, sometimes we would go to the movies and we would see stuff like, yeah, we would see black movies. Yeah, I saw like all the black movies, and we had hella bootlegs too growing up.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So like I will say we grew up because we were like super latchkey. But my mom, I don't know what was going on over there. Like we were watching. I remember my favorite movie as a little like 2 years old was like Juice.
Wild.
I would That's say I want to watch now. Juice.
That's what's wrong I mean. Yeah.
Look, I'll shoot a nigga. I will. I will mug you like people don't know that, but I will. So Juice. Candyman, Chucky, like we used to just watch horror movies, and I love horror to this day, right? So anyway, I grew up watching them. My mama was like low-key a film buff, so she used to have like all the black movies on VHS. And you know, of course she would be like, don't watch this, but we don't care, like we'll watch it. So I grew up watching whatever my mom watched, so which was a lot of black cinema. So you know,
You know, it's funny you mentioned horror. Before my mom like went back to church and got holy and stuff, she loved horror. So I saw it when I was like a baby.
And that's worse than Juice.
before I went to the circus. So by the time my mama took me to the circus, I was scared of clowns. I was like, get me out of here.
It as a baby is child abuse, low key, because it's scary.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Yeah, anyway, I grew up watching a lot of horror, but yeah, we watched black shit too. It used to be on TV mostly, though.
That too. All right. Yeah. So I would like, we're going to jump into our rating, but we got to give the rules, of course. So
of course
we will. When I say define black cinema, like that's a big definition. So it's more whittled down. Right. So these are the rules. The movie must be made by and or be about black folk. Mm-hmm. Right. Black people. Must have a predominantly black cast. And like, you know, we lose for rules because like, let's say if you had Get Out on here, I would not boo you.
Right.
Because right. it's the subject matter is black.
Yeah.
Must. OK. And then can be any genre.
Great. So that documentaries,
horror. Great. Yep. Mm-hmm. And then you and I have been tasked with choosing five of our favorite black movies to discuss and say what the best of all time.
Oh man, I can hear the booze now.
I know. I did want to give a disclaimer because I know. We are only people of limited experiences, you know. So with that being said, if we say something that you thought, like, tell us, of course. But like, there's gaps in our nigga knowledge. Like, that's just what it is. Like,
yeah, Aaron was talking about that New Jersey Drive movie, a regional classic. You know,
never heard of her. Never heard. Who is that?
She could be walking by me on the street. I would know a thing.
Lost. Excuse me, ma'am. Your wallet. Like, you dropped your purse, ma'am. Like, never would not know. Okay. Do you? We're going to go. Let's go number five to number one. All right. Let's talk. What you got?
All right. For me, coming in at number five is The Piano Lesson, the 1995 version. It stars Charles Dutton, Alfre Woodard, Lou Myers, and Courtney B. Vance. Obviously, it's based on the play by August Wilson of the same name. This is one of my earliest movie memories in life. It is Southern. It talks about there's black people selling watermelon. It's just there's formerly enslaved people, their family heirlooms, there's ghosts. There's music. It's such a good film. Oh God, they have a work song scene that I watched today looking for it called Berta Berta, and I love prison work songs. And it's just like such an incredible movie. I love it. And it's way better than that new one that they made.
Damn. Okay. That was so profound. Like no jokes. I never saw the OG one. I saw a new one. I thought it was fine. But I also feel like that actually really fits for you. Like, it's very Southern. There's some horror in it. Mm-hmm. It's music, family, niggas.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, very special.
Dang, Nandi.
Starting off high.
Okay, let me look all at right. my list number now. Because you're going poignant and shit.
See, this is why I ranked mine before. Because I was like, I don't want to be questioning myself. Based on like what you chose. All right, let's go. Number five.
I'm going to choose Temptations. Okay, so Temptations. I don't even know the name of the cast because I didn't write it down. I know Leon is in it. Mm-hmm. And a bunch of your faves that you don't know their names. But Temptations, it's a family movie for me. You got five hobbies, Temptations. My family is a Temptation family. Mm-hmm. They are Jehovah Witnesses, as I always talk about. So, you know, the more Disney one was the one, even though there was crack in this. I love Temptation. I love the movie. It's about family, music, niggas being niggas.
I don't know. It's a musical. That's why I like the Temptations. I really wanted to put a musical on my list. This was close. Dreamgirls was close. I think this is a great, solid-ass choice.
I had two biopics on here, so I needed a biopic because I think if you're talking classic black cinema, like, I mean, I don't have Tina Turner on here, which she should be, maybe. But
I should have chose that, but I did not include a biopic. And
if we go on biopics, that's like the gold standard. But anyway, Temptations is also fun. It's not too heavy. Like Five Heartbeats gets a little heavy. All right. Let's go number four.
Number four for me is Boys in the Hood.
Okay, nice.
John Singleton's feature directorial debut. We got Lawrence Fishburne, Nia Long, Cuba Gooding Jr., Ice Cube, Regina King, Angela Bassett. We are talking, baby, blackity black black. It's made by and fully starring black people. And also the subject matter is black. And also Morris Chestnut's fine ass is in there.
Ricky.
Ooh, Ricky. I still mourn Ricky every day, but what a beautiful film about real shit. And apparently it's like based on a Eazy-E rap song of the same name called Boys in the Hood. Oh, I have all my little descriptions, as you can see. Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's based off of that. I wanted to include a hood classic. It was this or Menace to Society.
I used to love that movie.
I love that movie, too. But this was earlier, and that's what ended up making the cut. This is like 2 years before Menace to Society. So I'm like, this is the blueprint. So I'm going with Boys in the Hood.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
What you got?
I feel like my list don't even really got to be number. Who needs to know? Okay. Anyway, I'm going to go. I'm going to stick with you. Hood classic, hood movie, Friday.
Hey, another banger. Of course.
All the same reasons.
Yeah.
Ice Cube, Chris Tucker, John Singleton, Regina King, The Kane. I forgot the mama's name. Don't come for me, blacks. But everybody's in the movie. Bernie Mac. Everybody's in the movie. It's hilarious. It's a hood classic. It's about nothing. Two dumbass niggas is living a day. it has some rom-com elements. It's just fun. It's a hood movie while still being light and fun, which yeah. I think not enough of that in the genre. So Friday.
Very, very solid. Yeah, that's great. And I like that Friday's like a more lighthearted mm-hmm. version of like Boys in the Hood. It's right. Like, what's happening with the goofy nigga?
Right. Because like, the goofy nigga is there. Like,
yeah,
always.
He's there. Yeah.
Always.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's good.
Getting shot at because he's stupid, because he's goofy.
All right. Number three. Oh my God. We're blowing through these. We're getting tight. Okay, my number three is New Jack City.
Okay, Nino Brown.
Listen, directed by Mario Van Peebles, it stars yes. Wesley Snipes, Ice-T, Alan Payne, Chris Rock,
Pookie.
Bill Cobbs, who I love. Oh my God, I used to love Bill Cobbs. He's that old man. And I learned while I was like getting myself together for this episode, it premiered at Sundance, which makes total sense. I do think that New Jack City is like black film noir in some ways. Like, it's so beautiful. Nino Brown is my sexuality, whatever sexuality I'm. Yeah. Like, I'm Nino Brown. Yeah. Whatever you put on the end of that, a sexual Nino Brown sexual. That's what I am. And I want to wear every outfit. Wesley Snipes. Oh, God. Yeah. Everything is perfect about that movie. It has funny. It has crime. It has shirtless Wesley Snipes. It has stealing bitches. It's great.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Whittling down my list here. All right.
Whittling it down.
I'm going to say Best Man, the entire thing.
Bye. The entire thing.
Yeah, the series. Like the Best Man 1 and 2 in the series. Sure. Just, I think
the entire Best Man catalog.
Yes, and I only say this because like they have no skips. Like,
I agree with that.
The cast is phenomenal. They're fine. Some of the
subject same people. Matter. I think we're seeing some major crossover in a lot of these casts too.
Well, in our list
Nia
are the cast.
Long and
Nia
Morris
Long, fine ass.
Have been in three of. This is the third thing that they've been in.
Friday, This Boys and the what's hood. The other one? Nia Long.
Boys in the Hood.
Oh, was she in? Is she in Boys in the Hood?
Yes.
Well, her fine ass. She's so fine.
She's so fine.
So Boys in the Hood has like one of the best casts. They all age great. The subject matter in the first movie is so good. It's like about betrayal. It's about brotherhood, friendship, but also betrayal and being like a raggedy man. Like, what's his name? Morris Chestnut's character is so raggedy in the first one. And they make it seem like Q, Terrence Howard's character is the most raggedy, but he's not. He's calling him out actually, and he's messy for sure. Like he likes the mess. He lives for the mess.
The best man is Harold Perrineau. He's the actual good man of the group.
Yeah, that's true.
And fine. Someone who I've been in love with since Romeo and Juliet.
Yes. Was he Mercutio?
Yeah.
He was a cousin, right?
Yes, he was.
But yeah, the cast is good. It's kind of a rom-com. Like it has rom-com elements, but it's not really a rom-com because it's really like the love is between the friends. Harper and what's her name, Jordan, are the messiest. They are the messiest couple that we root for in media. Like the movie's so messy. There's not even like really a love scene in the first movie other than a flashback of Harper and Mia having sex during the wedding.
Wild.
which is crazy. But anyway, Best Man, I've been revisiting Best Man for like the last maybe 5 years, and I love everything about it. So that low key could have been my number one, but here we are. Best Man number three.
Very good. Yeah, you make a great argument. And again, stellar cast. I mean, Taye Diggs is also one of the greatest black actors of our time. He's so funny. I love his online presence is so great and hilarious. I'm a fan.
Dang, I love Taye Diggs. I was just thinking that because I'm thinking about my number one movie.
He's great.
Spoiler.
Okay.
Number two.
We're at number two. Wow, we are fucking. Okay, number two for me, Waiting to Exhale.
I don't even want to say this on a podcast. I watched Waiting for Exhale
something crazy
recently, and I did not like it.
No, you didn't like how people were acting. You liked the movie. You just don't like that how true this shit is.
Oh my god, I was stressed.
So everyone, I know y'all know this, but obviously Waiting to Exhale, an actual rom-com drama directed by Forrest Whitaker, is his directorial debut.
Sleepy Eye Nation.
Yes, and it was adapted from the novel by Terry McMillan, who was that girl in the 90s. All of her books were becoming movies at that time. We had Layla Rochon's fine ass, Loretta Devine's Sunshine. Fine ass, Whitney Houston's fine ass. Who else was it?
Did you say Loretta?
Whitney Houston. Angela Bassett. Angela Bassett shook the world with that haircut.
She was like supernaturally fine in that movie.
Yes.
And like it's crazy because everybody else is fine. So it wasn't even like she was killing them, but she was super.
She's vampire. So fine. She changed the world with that haircut. And then the soundtrack
of
that film, Babyface, did his thing. That movie is perfect. I also watched it recently in a Whitney kind of triple header. I did Soul Food, this, and then The Preacher's Wife. But Waiting to Exhale is a perfect movie. It's real. I think women today still relate to it, and that is sad. But it is a perfect movie. Everyone is a good actress. No notes.
Cotties. Okay. Where we at? Number two?
We're at number two.
All right. Number two. I'm really struggling here. So I have. Okay. I'm just going to say, set it off.
I'm going to give
honorable mentions, but set it off. I didn't want to have like, because technically, I guess I have two hood movies on here or like, you know, like Friday and Set It Off. But Set It Off is a little deeper than a hood movie now.
Yeah, and I think Friday's a comedy, so it's very different.
Yes. I mean, I think it's the setting is literally in the hood, which is why I call it a hood movie. Okay, but like Set It Off is, it's a, obviously it's a feminist movie, right? But on top of that, it's
women about women in male-dominated fields.
Period. But it's like about the like the failings of systems and what they make people do, right? So like it can be just a bank movie, but it's really all these women, except Cleo, were pushed to the brink, and that's why they did what they did. So like it was deeper than they just want to harm people, and like you know they didn't even set out to harm people. They needed money to get out of their circumstances. Mm-hmm. And then, like, old girl had to bring her daughter, her baby to work, her son to work, because she didn't have nobody to watch the kid. And then, you know, he got hurt. And he got gripped up by the system, by Craig Mama. So it's about the failings of systems, but it's also funny.
Yeah.
And iconic.
Yeah, it's so iconic.
Best cast. What's it called? Elise, what's her name?
Elise Neal.
No.
It is Elise Neal.
Well, yes, but TT, Kimberly Elise.
Kimberly Elise. Yes, yes, yes.
Set It Off gave us Kimberly Elise. Elise. That was her first role. So like,
wow, that's her first role. Yep. I didn't realize that. Yep.
Stud Queen Latifah. We never get stud Queen Latifah. Mind we got stud Queen saying, Latifah
I'm not
once.
Gay.
When she I'm not gay, like, nigga.
I ain't gay. When she was doing the press tour, she was like, nigga, I ain't gay. It was like, okay, nigga. Gay.
You're definitely gay. I think gay. The girlfriend got zero lines in that movie. That's the one note I got.
And that's a good treatment.
Okay, that's my number two. That was number two.
Number two. Oh my god! All right, we're at the number one choice. This is wild. Okay, my number one movie is The Color Purple, the 1985 version. It was directed by Steven Spielberg, but otherwise black. Novel by Alice Walker.
Yep.
Quincy Jones did the score, and it was the first time ever that John Williams did not score a Steven Spielberg fan. And I'm a big John Williams
fan. And that was the right choice.
It's the correct choice. Mm-hmm. Whoopi Goldberg, Danny Glover, Oprah Winfrey's film debut.
Was it?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oprah. Yes, yes, yes.
Yes. Her film debut. She ate. It's such a great movie. It's a movie I quote on a regular basis. I probably quote that movie more than any other movie. You and me will never part, my dear. That's my, listen, I love doing that when I'm about to leave somebody.
When you're far.
Yeah, exactly. I'm on the train. You said I'm on the platform. I love it. Yeah, I love The Color Purple. It's just so black and beautiful. Also Southern. Also has some of those same themes. It's like the piano lesson. It's right after slavery's ended. And like also black queer friendship.
Queerness,
like saving people's lives. And I just am so grateful for The Color Purple. It's, I think, for me, out of the what I had to choose today, best black movie of all time.
So I'm a complete fraud for not having Color Purple on my list at all.
You are. I think I was surprised it's well not documented. To see it, but I was happy.
It's well documented how much I love The Color Purple. So I second everything you said, and I regret that it's not on my list. I think our personalities are coming through on this because I was going for things that make me happy. Color Purple doesn't make me happy. It does, but it doesn't. But anyway, all that to say.
No, I don't care about being happy that much.
Okay, my number one. The Wood.
Wow. The niggas wood. Will nig. You know, niggas will nig, so that is what it is. Niggas are going to nig, and that's what they're going to do.
I love The Wood. I moved to Charlotte, North Carolina when I was in high school, and I felt like the opposite of Mike just going to a new place and just being like, what the hell is going on here?
Oh my God. Also, some more crossover cast here as well.
Tay Diggs.
Tay.
Omar Epps.
Yep.
TJ, what's his last name? You know what I'm talking about. The tall
name. Yeah.
Elise Neal's in this, no? Who I is think the...
Elise Neal's the girlfriend.
Yeah, the ex, the one that they went to go visit. Sanaa Lathan.
Sanaa Lathan, hold on.
Sanaa Lathan is the adult. She turned light skinned when she became an adult. That was crazy.
Stop. Actually, it's not Elise Neal. It's Tamala Jones.
I'm sorry.
Lisa Ray is
as an adult, yes.
Yeah.
But anyway, The Wood, it's about brotherhood, it's about friendship, it's about being a fish out of water. It's about gangs in LA and you don't know nothing and you fight the blood because you tried to fuck his sister.
Oh my God.
And then you end up getting the sister later. I love that movie. I don't know. That movie just reminds me of being a young, dumb person out of my depth and everything and just like showing up to a place and not know what's going on. Yeah.
So good. All right. Well, that's your number one movie.
That's my number one.
Wow, you think The Wood is the greatest black movie of all time?
I'll hold it.
Yeah, hold it. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, as we said at the beginning of this, none of these movies were made after the year 2000, I don't think. These movies are, The Wood is made in 1999, and I would guess that's the newest movie on either of our lists.
Dang, that's true.
Yeah, the oldest movie on my list was 1995, but I did have some honorable mentions, and we said for the honorable mentions, they had to be made within the past decade. And for me, there was two immediate standouts. One, Moonlight, which makes the cutoff.
Just
makes that 10-year. And then I did have Get Out on my honorable mention list. It was between that and Nope. I wanted to have Jordan Peele represented.
Love that.
But yeah, Get Out is my two. Those are my two honorable mentions for made in the past decade.
Get Out was actually on mine as well because I think it ushered in a way, like a movement of a black horror that was not there.
There's a before and after. Yeah,
right. Literally, right. So there's that. I mean, we didn't say Tales from the Hood, but you know, just throw that out there as far as black horror. Black horror. Horror is
that's
not represented.
My favorite black horror movie of all time.
It's the one of the best. And
it's
like the only horror-ish
too is perfect.
The one about the boy killing his stepdaddy was so good. With what's her name? Paula, what's her name?
Old girl, Paula.
From Friday.
Regina King?
No, the girlfriend from Friday.
Oh,
yeah, she was Trixie Proud.
Yeah, her
Paula.
I can't remember what her real name is.
Shit. Okay, whatever.
Anyway,
she know our heart.
That's
okay.
Great, but that definitely was not made in the past 10 years.
Right. So. Get Out is on my list. I'm gonna say Jingle Jangle.
Okay, that's a good one. Yeah, Jingle Jangle was good.
Instant classic. It's a Christmas movie that centers black people. It's magical, fantastic. The music is actually really good in Jingle Jangle and the dancing. And they pull from the diaspora. So there's like Caribbean music and stuff. So Jingle Jangle. Just watched it. It's great.
Woof. Wow, that was really tough. But I'm proud of our list. I do think you're right. Our personalities were shining through. You're so happy and laughy. And I'm like, you can laugh, but you can laugh at things that are not funny, which to me, The Color Purple.
It's kind of
even
funny.
Boys in the Hood, all these movies, like
have humor.
Boys in the Hood, Waiting to Exhale. He's a good man, Savannah. He's not a good man. Like that, we joke, we don't take nothing serious. And so that's like, I think some of these movies too, like, when you've seen them so many times, Coming to America, I can't believe I didn't have that on my list. Coming to America is another great one. But like,
Harlem Nights, Brooklyn, Life, and then Why Do Fools Fall in Love. Those are the ones that did not make the cut. But like,
so good.
Yeah. And Brooklyn, I just want to say, I love Brooklyn.
It's such a wild movie. Like, speaking of movies I don't like, but are good.
You don't like Brooklyn?
No, I'm saying it's a good movie, but like the plot makes me upset. It's like she died. She didn't.
Who, the mama?
Yes.
Alfrey Woodard.
And she was an angel. Dying.
When I was a kid, and she was an angel, and she was talking, I was like, did she make it? No. So no. Did she die?
She didn't make it.
Crazy.
All right, well.
All right, we're wrapping up.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, guys, if you disagree, drop some comments and tell us what movies we missed on this list. And what are your top five Black movies of all time? Tell us in the comments. A big thanks to our producer and audio Adonis, Aaron Rand Freeman.
I'm Vance Go, and you can find me on Instagram, if you like, at SirTheThought. And TikTok, if you can find me. Good luck.
And I'm Nandi K. You can find me on Instagram and Threads at Nandi, K-A-Y-Y-Y. We'll see y'all.
Right Quick is a podcast for The Agenda Productions, created by Nandi K and co-hosted by Vance Go. Aaron Rand Freeman is our mouthy producer. Theme music by Luke Santee. Art by Sonia Honeycutt. If you like what you heard, subscribe, rate, review, and follow us on Patreon at The Agenda Productions.